Good morning, Chairperson, and everybody, my name is Mark, I'm a member of the chairman, and I'm a member of this committee, and to make some apologies that some of our members are still under.
Meena Siva, PNG.
Please ask it. I'm going to ask the department to please jot down the questions as they are. So we are aware that 30 so many people What is the plan going for that public private? Paolo II si scioglie che è grande attore per il posto dove ricordate l'Ipe, il protagonismo del posto del 8, sia per il suo mantello, e di dire che state lì che con te a fare di function, because they now, from the gift, per le idee, e l'ultimo, per le idee. Che c'è?
lengthy strong things that we went through. You are failing the community of the Western Cape when you talk about that new legislation and the implementation of it, because it costs the taxpayer lots of money. At the end of the day, I can't see the difference. This issue settles, and I need to mention it in this meeting of the annual report because everybody is getting it. This notion that is outside of this problem, that this legislature was used by the MEC to get favoritism in that hospital. The members of this legislature that is deployed under that hospital board is only coming from the community. So, if the MEC got that power to deploy the members of the legislature to make sure that the relationship between community and the department is happening and it is transparent and the community is taken first, why is the head of the members isolated in the appointment to the hospital board? Because we are all members here. Then I want to go further, Chairperson, and I want to answer any to answer me that question. Why is the preference only to be a member of the legislature when it comes to the appointment to the hospital board? Why this legislation gives the MEC the power to appoint members of this legislature to serve on hospital board? Why the only MEC? The other issue on this hospital board is, I think the HOD, who is the implementer of the legislation that has been passed, also must be answered. And the implementation, especially when it comes to training of the hospital board. What did you train? What did you do? Or what are you training? Because December, November 2017, it was approved. We are now nearly at the end of 2018. I want to see that we need to get a resolution on this. Now, Chairperson, let me pause. I will come back because there's still a lot of questions that I need to ask you.
Madam Senator, and
how do you
So I could use
meeting, the group at meeting. But we have a question I want to ask on page 16, right from the top paragraph, where we're looking at the objective. The purpose, I think the reason for, I had to leave my share, my understanding could not assist me. Yes, so I'd like to have been to explain the difference to me. United States explain all these three kinds of debt. You know, sometimes when you read something, you wish you understand from the title, what is it that they're trying to tell you when you're reading this. So I didn't want to take it from face value. I also wanted to know if there's something extra that the language understands if I add this.
Thank you.
by only 2 centimeters out of a total of 273 PhD facilities from that assessment. Under the bullet point here, can the department also provide the number of deaths in the health facilities, in the health facilities in the province? Then on page 14, the department understands its maintenance budget was 11%, although under proposed decreased understanding also goes to 4% of previous year. And on page 17, can the department on page 17, can the department let us elaborate on the successes and challenges experienced with the patient basis of the later years and the model that has been used in the past? I'll pause along there. I think it was the approach of the
council. That's where it is. It goes from there. now we represent in a certain committee now of our project in the progress so far. But then I will get the details. I think also it will be unfair for us to talk about ALA. We can say nothing about us without us. To talk about the shepherds in Hosea and Kai, Shah, and whatever. Everyone is going to speak of their own truth. Their voice also needs to be the represent their voice. So I don't want to talk about the ALA here because we are the government, which I call it from the government society. There's a parliamentarian, which also they are representing the people. We are from the whole house of the civil society. Civil society have to have their voices to be heard and also to respond, to be answered to on their behalf. The ALA expenditure of the minister's office, I think it has been part of the ALA expenditure in terms of the staffing. When we challenge the PSG, each and every the ministers who are chairing clusters of the PSG, for example, PSG 3, which is a chair, and then the other minister, the social development, the docs, the safety, and also the public work in terms of the transport. We have the added time because of where we have a strategic goal for the people appointed, because the person is running around for all other departments. The location is for the working committee, there are also staff committees appointed, which we appointed. At the time, Dr. Douglas Newman was appointed as a PSG coordinator as the director at that time. Even the PSG one, there was one PSG who had added. But when now, based on the review we had about the PSG, where we are going towards the water and all other approaches, where we can work other departments. I felt strongly that when now the state became open that there was no need of such a continuity for the HODs, we ended up at each of the sites that you are doing the pilot in the Santana area, in the Pal East, and also the management and the other parts of the platform base. We have professionals that are managing those sites. So they are on site in terms of going to where you are going in terms of PSG. You are no need to have a specific goal called him. So that is the money that was meant for him, which we will complete. Just to say about this, I have to share with you that we will be the public consultation, the training and so forth, again, in Worcester, it was stated, which is part of the new report, that these need to be extended. So it was extended, and also the cluster in terms of the legislation, which is now we have fixed, and we have appointed now the people in with other training, we need to have some responses. So the issue of the training and the details is getting at the time that we are presenting, as we requested, that we like we saw at the committee. The whole aspect related to the implementation of that. Private hospitals, I don't think we might have such information by now in terms of how many we have licensed and so forth. Again, we did some presentation from time to time to me about the whole issue about the private licensing and so forth and so forth. In terms of in the metro, we just had a staff with the commission says, the commission says, payment in the other rural areas. I don't think my have that technical information now, but I think probably the preparation might send that information maybe. What is this area in terms of what is that new that they have to overcome those people talking about the health pressure? One of the unexpenditures related to the appointment of the new management efficiency alignment program. Where even in my budget, we said that we have to do things differently, where we protect the clinical side and the raw for the people in where we have to use the admin, because we need more staff in that area, and we don't have money if people are going to be doing things. So it is between what we have, how to make the point of things differently. And I spoke about the transformation, service transformation strategy in terms of what we need to do. For example, some of the changes where we find that some of the people moving to the head office now in the standard field some of the changes probably also get as well in terms of the power and access to manage aspects of the infrastructure, areas for it to be supported managed in some of the things, especially going to some of these projects that are coming like the regional hospital, the first continental, the president is on. So as a result, this is one of those where we cannot keep on saying that, oh, yes, we have a unnecessary pressure, we've got more people, we've got no money, but it is that not too different. So part of the list is one of those issues we can expand around us. If we change in terms of the service pressure, this is what I promised to do in terms of how can we use the technology in a way to reduce service pressure in terms of the people where they can have an access to appointments in terms of the e-prescription, the e-referral and so forth. So we can add more. Immigration. I think also if you need to be careful, remember the case that you don't end up in the community like you have to report. Generally, deport will change in health. We look at the person, not necessarily looking whether you are green, you are blue, you are Muslim, you are Catholic, you are white, because all of us in terms of the book for apply to the issues of whether you are from Ghana or whatever. And when you come in, you are a patient. So therefore, you don't keep much of that information unless it's about getting the documentation that you require. When you see the documentation, you might exceed 2% of the foreigner. They might not necessarily be from Ghana, they might be from Italy. They might be from England, for example. So it's a day on the documentation. But if you are unable, we don't keep that much information in terms of the calling phase. Mobile phase, I mean 65%, a certain percentage is based on the documentation. And some of them are coming undocumented. So the immigration, I was making an example, not only from the outside, but also from in terms of people are coming in, wherever they're coming from. However, because we do home and patient centers and also patient centers, we have to look at the patient quality. There are some of the areas where we find that the issue of when people they are unconscious, they ended up not attending health services when they need to, as soon as they should be. One example for my experience, because I go to the patient in the children's area, where we find that in that area where they are being used and people from the outside of the country because of the seasonal work. When I went to the social hospital, they indicated that they had quite a number of emergency infections for the people who were unbooked to take healthcare, but they came with the complications, and then they asked why you come here, maybe you had 3 years in the restriction time, three, because when they were afraid, why eight, like getting reported. This is just an example, but we don't keep that documentation in on that kind of information. The laundry can be now public private partnership, I think from here it's related to the health center but also the tiger bag, not necessarily in regards to the actual health system. So the strategy can answer around that. Complaints can answer around that. County cases in the whole day test, which can expose around that, and all that.
Thank you for a very wide range of very good questions. Thanks for that. The research is probably a document in the book, so thank you for that. But the minister has indicated that people might often arrive in our services without even being in that system. And then it is higher risk to that individual. The other one question about emergency services, and it is a particular concern for our state department. So from 2016 onwards, we have systematically attempted various approaches able to handle this safety matter on the spot. There is a extended plan available which we monitor part of time, and it goes from the safety within the vehicle, that the staff members are saying that they do not, you know, expensive cell phones for them, etc., not cash, try to create that, and also their own way of being aware of their spouses, the marriages that respond. But then also, I think, particularly the other question is what are our partnerships? This is definitely part of the Red Star set up. The partnerships that we have with the Department of Community Safety, with SAPS, with the City of Cape Town, we are collaborating in the Transport Monitoring Center together with neighborhood watches, with SAPS traffic, and this, the place where all the video cameras is just monitoring for our base to see whether there are perhaps any areas that might be at risk. When it comes to program 3 later on, our response time has been directly affected by the fact that staff, when an area is declared unsafe, they have to report their own safety first, and they can only get accompanied by SAPS, until in touch with their own chief as well. So that is an important aspect. Staff receive post-traumatic stress support. At least 6 sessions, it's not going to be more intense with that being the try to start immediately, debriefing immediately. Also, we issue program 3, from time to time, 11 vehicles less on the road because of staff that's off duty for post-traumatic stress. You can't just pull somebody from the street, get it, it must be a trained professional person. So, the safety and the social ownership of health services to be considered for us. In other countries, health services are protected, they are respected, and what I find is that communities that actually need the investment most, that is the communities that are affected, that end up to start responding. So this is a big concern. Some members might have also been at the launching of a small video that was professionally done to basically play in all cinemas in town, and also it's available on YouTube and on we demonstrate the role of VMS and the role of VMS in the public to also submit this. There's a few of this that we can process. There were questions about climate change, and I will link also the question about the natural disasters, the question that was asked. So climate change has got a big impact on the department. It's not only droughts, it also has floods and the extreme winds that we've had. And then that leads to fires and all that over that. We also had 4 disease outbreaks last year, and the disease outbreaks are getting to climate change, and there's also other that. So clearly at the department we are majorly affected by that. Obviously, our facilities to run the facilities. The issue of the natural disasters that we mentioned, I take the point of the name of May that Scotland Hospital should not be regarded as a natural disaster per se. The fact, however, that the wind was extremely, was a major contributing factor to that, but I don't point that we should not have reported it as a natural disaster. But clearly, they are, and what we found last year, the fire that we lost, it was a massive impact on us. The extreme weather conditions at the time, and the water shortages, those are major impacts on us. Then there was a question on page 13. I had a few groups that there were questions on. The first one was primary healthcare contact. And it does not include contact in home and community care settings. So the formal definition of a head count, the national definition, does not include home-based care. So we put in several motivations to change the definition, but it doesn't reflect the total workload. largely in county representatives of these six million people reached through housing community care and individual care, but because the definition is we're not allowed to add that in. So the onboarding was very short to fix that part. In the issue of, there was also questions about the immediate care facilities and aquariums have been contracted to take over the service at the coordinated care hospital site, really intermediate care. And I think what's important, the patient that goes to intermediate care is either a step down from the hospital or a step up from the from over. Usually it's a step from the intermediate level, so it's still a patient that requires medical care. So it's not basic that walking around in the street, that is not the role of the health department. We're looking at individuals with either defined with mental illness or then an acute order of the health problem. And I think it is a societal issue that we need to look at, and also our collaboration with social services. How do we support those that part of our society? The annual basis we put out a tender for people to tender for intermediate care, and then they would then be selected on their ability, and obviously we try to get the people involved. So that goes on. There were questions about the delivery, the 92,000 day delivery. It does not include private. Home care would be able to give us a total percent. So these are delivered in our services. And the question was whether there are more babies born per reproductive woman in the Western Cape. I think that's a difficult one. So just to compare year on year, our population grow by 2% per year. What we need to do with that. I think the difficult question to answer straight by that to do with the calculation. I think the fact that the number of children and the fact is their figures would show that in their analysis, what are the number of children per household or that will give us perhaps a better response. There was a question also on the children under 1 year for infants. The honourable member is correct, it is a challenge for us. But as I said, yes, it's a part of the challenge. It depends on the denominator. The population in this age group is prescribed by national. Now we have to use that figure. When we go to our communities, we find that perhaps the figures are not accurate, but we take that as a particular figure and the officers are to really reach children for immunization. There's a lot of campaigns happening to that. And our information systems are also now better, so when a child is born, there's a system on which we can pick up whether the child will come for immunization. So it is an area that we are investing more, and it's quite a complex space. There was a question about the mortality, for those mentioned there. The question was, what are the number of people that die in hospitals? So I have to consider with me. And if you could understand what relevance that would be, because it doesn't have a denominator, so perhaps there's a lot of help you to understand the figures. There were several questions about the public-private partnership. The public-private partnership is currently in 12th year, which is the final year, and it has been working great. We have strengthened and invested on the whole site. And the benefits have been that it was possible for us to transfer the risk from the department to the private market. So they had to ensure the equipment function, they had to ensure the security, they had to ensure things are maintained, and they had to look after cleaning and all those services. So we've learned from a lot of lessons, but the big benefit is that they were able to transfer the risk. We are in the process now of planning the exit and then planning the exit. So the laundry that the honourable member has been referring to is just part of the partners. There was a question, on the infrastructure level of the hospital, on the evidence tour, it was part of that there were several regarding shark clubs, which is playing fire, readiness,
we are sure that intervention, but also to be able to use the intervention.
I'm just checking the intervention. Can you do the intervention?
No,
no,
no.
Go
ahead.
Okay,
so in the body and the media community, we speak loud. I'm starting with the drug impact. So since last year we have different kind of intervention at our facility. Engineer intervention, water security intervention, as well as we have change intervention. So if I start with that one, we have an average reduction of water consumption of 30% in our facility. And this is due to the awareness campaign that we do, of course, external, but also internal in the family. And we were able to reduce quite considerably the amount of water. Then we have the plan to provide an alternative source of water at our facility. Not all of them, because in some area we couldn't find underground water, for example. Fredenberg is one of these this facility where there is no underground water. We brought a couple of bottles, but there was no water available. So the underground water mainly is going to provide an alternative source to some of our facilities. So that is the plan for most of the hospitals and in some cases for the big, especially the big metro community center and community day center. And then the other one is the engineer intervention that is linked to the overall underground water supply, where we try to reduce the consumption of water in some of our facilities, especially in relation to heating, to the production of air conditioning, for example, or alcohol. So where there is a quite a considerable amount of water production, we try to implement the technologies that we invest. So this is the first question. The second is on relation to the laundry entity. The laundry entity is not, it was never part of the private sector, so it's been already answered and is in-house managed and it's fully utilized at the moment to the maximum capacity. The fire, the emergency center has reached strength. The cause of the fire, we don't have a final report on what caused the fire, but we think that fire started in cleaning, and the most reasonable reason why there was a fire was a faulty transformer inside of one of the lights that lost the light, and then the fire spread inside the cleaning. The smoke was actually visible and the good man inside the EC. The major damage to the emergency center that has now to be relocated is not due too much to the fire damage, but it's due to the water damage that the fire brigade used in order to put out fire. In order to remove the smoke from the ceiling, they had to open two big holes in the roof that had to be repaired, and there is a huge damage to the floor. The floor is vinyl, and of course it's water kind of sensitive. So the work now that is required, and to answer to the question, the contractor is currently on site, and is planned to complete the work in the next quarter, next year. It's actually repairing most of the water damage, if I can call it like that, than fire damage. Schwarzkamp Hospital, again, the contractor to demolish what was left behind has been appointed, and the work is almost completed. I was there yesterday, and actually, it was a good progress, as well as the contractor for the procurement and construction of two prefab buildings that they are going to locate, where they are going to locate the 48 or 50 beds that currently the hospital is making up in order to state the service as was. Then there are other initiatives on the construction site where we need to relocate office in order to update the theater. So we try to restore the capacity of the hospital to the original 80 beds with all the services that were before the fire. The issue about the compliance. The compliance is one of our top priorities, the compliance of fire for the past 5 years. So we regularly, the compliance of fire is make a different value. It's of course the physical compliance, but it's also the behavior compliance and also the health safety kind of compliance. So we are looking after the fire compliance in a holistic way, and the fact that we didn't have any casualty when we had fire at the SWAT plant actually showed the operation plans that were put in place, the kind of alarms actually, everything was working and allowed us to have the operating 20 minutes. And as I mentioned, the fire in 1 hour in the fire hospital was gone due to the wind and the heat on that day. So the dock in particularly is one of the early maintenance kind of injuries because the fire doors are quite heavy. Some head of the hospital are 2 hours fire waiting, that means they must stand for 2 hours before start to be affected by the heat. And of course the usage and the fire doors is quite heavy on the maintenance. So we regularly try to start look at the engines and try to be sure that the fire alarms and the fire technology that we have according to the regulation are updated. I must also mention that the fire regulation recently was modified or actually changed, so we are also trying to catch up with the new regulation. So new facility, of course, will comply with the current regulation, but also we cannot do it retroactively, it will be done in the incremental way. So that's so far. On caliber, I need to mention that caliber, as the member mentioned, there are two major projects for caliber. One is to build a new hospital on the current site, as you said, that is from the Fanfield kind of area. The hospital that the old hospital is going to be given back to Council for the Court, and then we'll see what can be done with the building is to build it and what the Council for the Court. The hospital is going to be designed for almost 2,000 beds. The central hospital will be only 1,100 beds, and the rest of the GDO in the last, as you mentioned, will be a regional hospital.
Thank you.
terms of space, indicates the number of the real clinic status determinations that were done. And clearly, this is a progressive journey that we are on. The critical clinic is the same staff that are going to be the service and have to manage the service, are they also doing the status determination? So we try to work across the one and the determination for another to actually work in their work schedule because of our limitation. But we have increased, in last year we had 38 facilities that were regarded as ideal. In this financial year, we were already at 106, in 18 financial year, and we are now at 55%. And if you look at the city of Cape Town, that also improved from 3 days to 51%. So there's an improvement at both the province and the city. And I think there's a strong commitment to that achievement. And in the areas that we struggle with, not struggle, but they need to be reached, this infrastructure created. And the team is looking at that. There was also a question about complaints. If you look at the number of complaints, it translates to one complaint for every 3,000 patients seen, if you just put it in a different context. And the main reasons for the complaints, the categories are waiting times, and then to see the doctors to go to the point of the pharmacy, and then staff attitudes. But also if you look at the complement, again, the professionals and the staff attitudes. So clearly it is stuff available for the healing area. But Dr. Sittenberg, I'm just responding at the general interventions that we are doing.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. There may be just three things I will touch on because they are interrelated, but I think the question was specifically, what have we done differently in this year to improve quality? The year under discussion is April 2017 to March 2018. So what I'm also going to talk about is what we did in that year, but what has carried through into the current financial year, which we will report in the next cycle in terms of. I think the biggest thing is, and the members have been right, we are trying to improve quality against the face of the emergency centres, especially in the metro hospitals, increasing. So we have got a big, we've been monitoring how many people land up in emergency units in all our big hospitals, and it has been increasing steadily over the last 2 years. So to increase quality in the face of emergency centers getting busier has been one of the big challenges. One of the things that we have over the years been trying to do is to put a premium on getting people out of emergency centers as quickly as possible to make space for the people that come into emergency centers. Our attempt to be able to do that has been overtaken by, which we realize now, a rapid increase in violence over the last 2 years. There is given that we believe this week, and at some point it might be sort of able to share that with the committee, where we monitor, because we've seen, for instance, you would have picked up that there was an issue of bodies being released into an anthropology. That's linked to the increase in homicides and violence. At the same time, there's been increased the link with PMS picking up cases, taking them to PC, and our own staff having to work in EDs with increased violence and trauma in the EC. So our attempts to decompensate the EC has almost been almost neutralized by the fact that more cases come. And it is really about getting patients into the normal ward, and to discharge people out of hospital wards into the intermediate service that will be the hospital. So it's really about a true group of people. Now our system has been, and that's the challenge that you pick up. If you have somebody in the EC and they're getting to a ward, in the ward you have ill people that you must make sure that they get before you discharge. So we have to have attention on making sure that you are discharging people earlier from the ward. And they have to go to the intermediate facility and follow up on their care. Then you would have, under normal circumstances, hold on to somebody in the ward. How do you maintain the quality when you have to discharge people slightly earlier, whereas the next person will be coming into the world? So my understanding to the member is we have in each of our
getting people through, allowing new people to come in, while the pressure goes up. So it is an ongoing challenge. My management team, the one that I chair on a monthly basis, considers the monthly reports from all of the hospitals. And we ask ourselves on a monthly basis, what are we doing to close the loop into a system around this? And we can provide more information if needed around this. The second thing that's linked to that, and I touched on the issue in one of the hospitals, is the issue about the network that we work with on this here. But the question we ask, does that intermediate facility that we have in query and then exist in the rural area? So we have this immediate facility geographically across the whole province. And the idea is to move patients from that. So the truth over there to pick up in this report is that life used to run that intermediate facility at the end. They exited it. We had 3 months. And on 1st of April, we handed it over to a query. They successfully managed it. But there is similarly a pressure for us to have intermediate facilities across the province to be able to put the patients in. And the last question was just about home community-based care. You're asking, are we investing in local organizations? Our footprint has always been, and we've seen in partnership in this area, has always been to work with local community-based organizations and local civil society organizations, NGOs. So we are contacting 95 of these organizations. In every town in the province, we work with a local organization. So all our community members are housed via NGOs, but very much the local community. In some of the rural areas, it's difficult to have a local organization in every town and neighborhood. In some, you have an organization that covers 2 or 3 towns, but it is still local within the area. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have two questions for page 16 that relate to the budget. At the page, there are three points there. So, the second question is that the research is called for that. We have to have the
yes, the department will spend $500,000, but we need to put that in context. The department spends, the total budget is about 32,000 million rand. In other words, this 190 million rand is about what we spent in 3 days. So it's actually a very small amount. Now, what did we underspend on? First of all, we underspend because we underspend about 53 million rand on construction that we program that. Another reason is we have 32 million rand that we succeeded to recover from the from Chiefs for the Western College of Nursing. And another major reason was an understanding with respect to the IT equipment but, or IT processes. We have been losing about 200 million rand in real terms over the last 3 years. In other words, our increases were less than inflation and less than the increases in salaries. So we, in real terms, lost 200 million rand. And next year, the salaries are going to lose more money, in spite of the fact that, the inflation numbers are increasing. And in anticipation of that reduction in the budget, we have to be very stringent with respect to costs. And for that reason, we plan to understand and not fill posts. And you will also be aware of our new processing department, where we review all our structures and we are reviewing the head office. We try to protect our basic services and we are trying to see whether we can reduce our administrative offices, and in that way we try to keep those vacant as far as possible and not fill those, and we put pressure on personnel numbers and able to reduce the expenditure. But we should also take into account that if you look on page page 269 that there were accruals of 168 million rand. In other words, these are money, these are invoices that we've received for that which we have not paid. In addition to that, on page 260, there are 134 million rand worth of monies that we owe for which we haven't received invoices yet for. And if we have paid those two amounts, we would have overspent our budget. But I think also important is the fact that whatever we underspend, we keep, it's still our money. And in the current financial year, which is a difficult financial year, and next financial year, which will be even worse financial year, due to the national economic situation, we use that as we actually need that money.
All the boards have been orientated on that act, so that has been done.
clearly what we would like to invest is deeper, so of course to have a deep understanding of the role of also to be innovation. Well, how does it work? So clearly we actually expect the coach has some vision in being able to do that. So we do believe that that will give us the type of change that we need.
So I just asked the committee coordinator to check whether the fee is relieved, because I wanted to say, well, if I see on the building, if I have three jobs around me.
Yes, I have walked around the building. There are public works contractors working on the roof, but I'm not physically there, so there's no painting happening from that. There's probably going on the roof. I suppose it was a sports place, so there's nothing happening, so there's no fresh paint putting improvement on the walls.
Thank you. Thank you.